Well, let's open our Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 3. Here in this chapter, we have a record of those who worked on the wall of Jerusalem that was rebuilt in the 5th century BC. Nehemiah chapter 3 is one of those chapters in the Bible that we tend to skip over because of all these names and details here. But there's a lot of material here that's worth looking at. So let's begin reading at verse 1. We'll read a few verses here. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1. Then Eliashib, or Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They built as far as the Tower of the Hundred and consecrated it. Then as far as the Tower of Hananel. Next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built. Also the sons of Hasanaah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and bars. And next to them, Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Kaz, made repairs. Next to them, Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel, made repairs. Next to them, Zadok, the son of Baanah, made repairs. Next to them, the Tekoites made repairs. Now, as you go down this chapter, you find a phrase used again and again that we've just read several times, repeated, namely, next to him, or after him, or next to them, or after them. And this phrase continues all the way through the chapter. Most of the verses have a similar phrase like this. Now let's read verse 16. That'll take us halfway through this chapter. And we read in verse 16, after him Nehemiah, the son of Azbuk, leader of half of the district of Bethzur, made repairs as far as the place in front of the tombs of David, to the man-made pool, as far as the house of the mighty. All right, what are some background notes that'll help us understand this first portion of Nehemiah chapter 4? Remember, the wall of Jerusalem that had been destroyed by the Babylonian armies when they conquered Jerusalem in 586 BC is now being repaired. A number of the Jews have returned from their 70-year captivity in Babylon, and Nehemiah is spearheading this wall-building operation. Nehemiah was a personal servant of the Persian king Artaxerxes I, but being a godly Jew, he was concerned that Jerusalem, the city of the temple, was defenseless. He was concerned about this. It had no wall. So now Nehemiah himself has come back to Jerusalem with the king's permission, and he has motivated the people and organized them to rebuild this wall. And they've accepted his challenge, and they've begun to build. And here in chapter 3, we have a record of all those who built and what section of the wall or gate they worked on, and so forth. The chapter, as we read, begins at the sheep gate. That would be one of the gates up at the northeast corner of the city wall, where the sheep for sacrifices would have been brought in. Thus, it was called the sheep gate. And then we trace the wall in a counterclockwise direction throughout the chapter. You'll notice when you get to the end of the chapter, you're back at the sheep gate. And at each stop, we see an individual or a group, you know, repairing the wall. And then you move on to the next section. And when you come to verse 16, where we finished reading tonight, half of the chapter, we've traced repairs on the wall a little more than halfway around. The Nehemiah, by the way, in verse 16 that we read is not the Nehemiah of the book of Nehemiah. It's another individual with that same name. You'll notice a different father there. Now, we've already mentioned that you can see part of Nehemiah's wall still standing today. And there in verse 8, you read about the broad wall. You can actually see what is most likely the foundation of that wall. It's been excavated and can be seen in the old city of Jerusalem today. Well, so much for background notes. Let's move right now to doctrinal points from this chapter 3 of Nehemiah. First doctrinal point tonight is this: unity and blessing go together. Unity and blessing go together. Now, the Bible certainly teaches this, that unity and blessing go together. So this is a doctrinal point or teaching point from this portion of Nehemiah. The unity of the people working on the wall is quite obvious here. Everybody's involved. It's a coordinated effort. Everybody's cooperating. The recurring phrase that we saw, next to him or next to them, after them, really emphasizes the unity here. It's used, I think it's 28 times in the chapter. Notice how everybody's involved. In verse 1, we read about the high priests and the priests. They're involved. You also read about the priests when you go on in the chapter. Verse 22, after him the priests, the men of the plain, made repairs. Verse 28, beyond the horse gate, the priests made repairs. Furthermore, you have the goldsmiths and the perfumers that are mentioned here. Look at verse 8. Next to him, Uziel, the son of Harhiah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs. And next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, made repairs. And they fortified Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. You also read of the goldsmiths down here in verses 31 and 32. You see the goldsmiths making repairs there. You kind of get the idea, you know, it's like the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. Everybody's involved in rebuilding this wall. You have the district leaders involved. Look at verse 9. You have the leader of half of the district of Jerusalem making repairs there. And then verse 16. You also have this Nehemiah, this other Nehemiah, leader of half of the district of Beth Zur. So you have these districts in Jerusalem and outside of Jerusalem. They're involved in rebuilding the wall. You not only have people in Jerusalem, but you have people from outside in the province of Judah coming in to help build. People from all over Judah. You might say the commuters are coming in to help build the wall. You got the men from Jericho, verse 2. You've got the Tekoites there in verse 5, or Tekoites. You have the men of Gibeon and Mizpah there in verse 7. You have the men of Zenoa in verse 13. These would be all areas outside of Jerusalem. People are coming in to help build the wall. You got the Levites mentioned in verse 17. After him, the Levites, they're making repairs. You have the Nethinim, or the temple servants, in verse 26. They're involved in rebuilding. You've got the merchants in verse 32. Look there at verse 32. And between the upper room at the corner, as far as the sheep gate, the goldsmiths and the merchants made repairs. Whole families are involved in this rebuilding project. Look at verse 12. And next to him was Shallum, the son of Elohesh, leader of half district of Jerusalem. He and his daughters made repairs. So everybody's involved. What a picture we have here of unity. Could this be said maybe in your church, that you could get all these kinds of people involved in a project? That would certainly be unity. No wonder they were able to get the wall built in less than 2 months. God bless this work because they were united. Unity and blessing go together. In Psalm 133 and verse 1, we read this: "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." We are to do whatever we can to keep the unity of the body. We read in Ephesians chapter 4, endeavoring to keep the unity of the body in the bond of peace. Notice what Ephesians 4:3 doesn't say. It doesn't say we're to form the unity. We don't have to form the unity of the body. It's already formed. We are one in Christ. If you're a believer, you're one with other believers in Christ. There's one body. It's already formed. But Ephesians 4:3 says we're to endeavor to keep that unity. And that does take work. Remember, by the way, unity is not uniformity. As people were different here, so we're different. We have different interests. We have different ways of looking at things. We have different tastes in music, for example. The Bible does not call us to be uniform, but it calls us to unity, united in mind and purpose to see Christ magnified and the work of the Lord prosper. Unity and blessing go together. Now, very quickly, one more doctrinal point here. Spiritual wall building is continuous. Spiritual wall building is continuous. Remember, we're talking here in Nehemiah about the physical walls, but it's a great picture of spiritual walls. God wants to see us have strong spiritual walls. God wants to see us to be able to defend our faith, to be strong Christians. So the doctrinal point here is spiritual wall building is continuous. The idea here is not that we continue to build throughout our lives. That's true enough. But the idea in this doctrinal point is that the whole wall goes up all at the same time. It's continuous. Notice what we read here. They don't complete the wall on the east, everybody working over there, and then they move to the north, and then they move to the west, and then to the south. No, they start at the sheep gate, verse 1, and wall building is going on all around the wall, all at the same time, all the way around to ending up at the sheep gate again. Well, in the same way, our spiritual walls must be continuous. You don't work on your prayer life, for example, and neglect your Bible study life, or you neglect your Christian service. Oh, you just work on Christian service and you neglect the other parts of the wall. No, everything goes up together. Spiritual wall building is continuous. We're to be involved in all of these things at the same time. It's the idea of the balanced Christian life. And that certainly would lead us then to a practical application from this section. And first practical application, we should aim to have a balanced Christian life. We should aim to have a balanced Christian life. Every day in our lives, there should be some Bible study and some prayer and Christian service. This is biblical. There should be worship. There should be fellowship with others. Certainly Christian service. Acts 2:42 says about the early Christians, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and prayer. Balanced Christian life. We need to work on having a continuous spiritual wall. We should aim at having a balanced Christian life. All right, second practical application. Don't be surprised if some of your brothers and sisters don't join you in the work of the Lord. Don't be surprised if some of your brothers and sisters don't join you in the work of the Lord. Look at verse 5. Next to them, the Tekoites, they're from Tekoa. That's a city, town, not too far from Bethlehem. That's where Amos came from. They made repairs, but notice now the end of the verse. Their nobles did not put their shoulders to the work of the Lord. They didn't want to get their hands dirty. They thought they were too good. Well, we've been talking about how important unity is and how pleasing to God unity is. But there'll always be some that will take away from the unity. They don't catch the vision. They don't want to join in the work. Well, what do you do in a case like that? You do the same as Nehemiah. Don't get hung up with a problem. Don't stop the work because of a few. Don't waste time trying to motivate the shirkers or the spectators or the sideliners, or those who for some reason don't want to support the work. There'll always be some that just can't see what God is doing. Don't be surprised if some of your brothers and sisters don't join you in the work of the Lord.